Hello there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and it is such a pleasure to be able to join with you again. Today on the program, we are going to look at the Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Oh man, we are getting down to the end of the church year. After today, there's only one more Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate the Solemnity of Christ the King. And guess what? The following Sunday after that, you got it. Advent. The beginning of Advent. December the 1st, we kick off Advent. I don't know where this church year went, but we are just about at the end of it. Now, I don't want you to panic when I tell you the title of the program. Now, before I tell it to you, you've got to promise me you will not panic. All right? Scared, huh? You're not going to promise me. All right, well, I'm going to tell you the title anyway. Is this the end? That's what I'm going to call this program. I was nervous about doing that. I thought, well, maybe I should water down the title a little bit. Is this the end? So many of us look at what's going on in the world and we think, uh-oh, the end times, here comes the end. Is this the end? Well, I'm going to say this. First of all, I really mean it. Don't panic. As we get to the end of every liturgical year, you're going to see readings like this. If you remember, a few weeks back, I told you about this, and I mentioned it on a few different shows, because what the church wants us to remember is that our lives on earth will come to an end. We have got to understand that. And not to make us afraid, but to make us realize that time is limited. We don't want to make bad use of the time we have been given, right? We want to do God's will for our lives. And in order to do that, sometimes we got to remember, or the church, really the Lord through the church, reminds us that, hey, tomorrow's not guaranteed. Do something about it today. So every year, the church really gives us these readings to remind us. So to answer my question, is this the end? We don't know. I am not one of those guys who looks at the world and says, oh my gosh, crazy things are happening. This must be the end. Instead, what I do is I take the word of Jesus literally. When he said, we're not going to know the hour or the day when I will come again in glory. We're not going to know. Now, technically speaking, we could view our current position in history as the end times, meaning that we're between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And each day we get a little bit closer to that. It could be thousands of years from now. I don't know. None of us know. And anybody that tells you something different, they're not listening to Jesus. So don't panic, because we just don't know. If you look back 2,000 years ago, if you look back, read your Bible in the Old Testament, times have been crazier in the past than they are now. Yeah, the world is nuts right now. I'm not going to deny that, but we still don't know. Now, with that being said, here's the catch. We know that you and me, we have a relatively short amount of time left before we die. I mean, that's just the way it is. Even if you're in your teens or your 20s, relatively speaking, it's not that long. But more importantly, you just don't know. So why take a chance? And I think that's the message that Jesus wants to give us when he said, you're not going to know. I'm not going to tell you, because I want you to be prepared. So you and I, as we end this church year and go into Advent, you know, the time for preparation, a season for preparing to welcome Jesus, it's good to start off with that idea. And you're going to hear that during the first week of Advent, that, hey, wake up. We don't know how much time we have. Let's get ready to welcome the Lord. So that's the answer. We don't know. I'm not going to try to scare you, but what I am going to try to do is motivate you and motivate myself to realize that tomorrow is not guaranteed. If you're listening to this, it's not too late for you. You've got today. You've got right now. But it's up to you and me. And as you hear me speak these words, I'm obviously alive, so it's not too late for me. But the point is, you and I have to make an effort. to do what we need to do to make sure that we're ready to meet Christ in judgment. It's going to happen. But again, it's not scary. If we're ready, it's going to be no problem. So that's what I have to say about the show. Is this the end? Yeah, it's the end of the church here. I mean, that's as far as I can go. We don't know if it's going to be the end times, but let's prepare. Let's prepare to meet the Lord either at our death. We don't know when that's going to be, or when he comes again in glory. And if we do that, how about this? We assume that it's today. If we do that, then we'll be ready and there will be no problem. And then we're going to feel a lot less anxious, right? Okay. Hope I didn't scare you, but you know, I got to give it to you straight. I want to go with what the church wants us to. I want to go down the path the church wants us to go down, and that's be prepared. All right. So with that in mind, before we actually start the show, even though I've spoken for six minutes now, but let's pray. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father. I'm going to pray for all of us that he'll guide my words, my thoughts, and he'll guide all of us to be receptive to his message for us today on the program. All right? Please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come before you, to worship you, to praise you, to ask for what we need, and to hear you speak to us through sacred scripture. Father, we're very grateful that you created us. We're grateful that you adopted us as your children. We're grateful that you sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. And we're grateful for the reminder that this life isn't going to last forever and that we need to make sure we are ready to enter into eternal life with you in heaven one day. Father, help us. Help us to really listen to your word today and to respond in an appropriate manner, to do something based on what we hear today. Father, we pray for all of our friends, family. We pray for everyone around the world, especially those who are in most need, Father, of your mercy, those who are living in sin, those who are suffering in any way, those who are desperately seeking you but don't know where to find you, those who are on the verge of despair. All of these individuals, as you know, Father, need your mercy. So we ask you to pour out your mercy upon them. And finally, I ask you to give me the words, Father. Send your Holy Spirit to me to give me the words that I'm supposed to deliver on this program today. And again, open up all of our hearts and minds to hear your words, your message, and put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All righty. Are you ready to go? You got your seatbelts fastened? All right. Hey, I want to remind you, too, since we're only a couple of weeks away from Advent, my new book, Find Peace in Advent, it is available now. You can get it from AveMariaPress.com. Or any place where you buy online books. It's a daily devotional for the Advent season. It kicks off on the first day of Advent, which will be December the 1st. So if you want to pick up a copy, now would be a great time to do it. Look, Advent is a very stressful time of the year for so many people because we're running around getting ready for Christmas. We have a lot of pressure. And oftentimes, we don't know what to do, how to prepare. Well, that's why I wrote this book. I really think it'll help you. We will be going through it on these weekly programs to some extent because the book is based on the daily and the Sunday Mass reading. So I will mention some of the ideas in the book, but I would really encourage you to get a copy. Again, that book is Find Peace in Advent. And I really think you'll enjoy the book. Available wherever you buy your books online. If you haven't signed up for my daily email reflection, let not your heart be troubled. Now would be a good time to do it because we will. Once we hit Advent, we're going to be looking. I'll be giving you some supplemental information on the material in the book. So I write the email each day. I'm not going to just repeat what's in the book. I'll give you some behind-the-scenes info and some additional information. Now, the email reflection is free of charge. All you need to do is go to my website, followingthetruth.com, sign up to receive my daily emails, And to do that, you just supply your email address. You can supply your name if you want, but you do not have to. That's all you need to do, your email address. You will receive it every day. And you can unsubscribe if you don't like it, but there is no cost. And I've gotten so much good feedback about that daily email reflection that I've loved doing it for the 4 years that I've been writing it now. Just go on over to followingthetruth.com. While you're there, you can find out about all of my other books as well as where I will be speaking. I'm doing 2-day Advent parish missions in the Philadelphia and South Jersey area. I'm sticking close to home this year, so if you're in the area, I'd love to see you come by. Again, my website is followingthetruth.com. All right, I got to take a sip of water. I got to get ready. The readings aren't overly long today, and again, I don't want you to panic. This happens every year. As the church year closes, the church wants us, it's a natural rhythm as the church year closes to remind us that, hey, your life is going to close out. Your life on earth is going to close out one day. Let's get ready for eternity. It's very easy to forget that, isn't it? Because we do have a lot of distractions. Anyway, so let's do this now. The Mass readings for the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, the second to the last Sunday in Ordinary Time before we go into Advent. We'll do the gospel as we always do. We'll lead with the gospel, which this week is Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 32. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, I know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour," listen to this, my friends, "no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Now, we could speculate on this one. What's he? Jesus doesn't even know the time. I really believe, and according to the commentaries that I've read, it's not Jesus' role at this time in his capacity as Jesus, the Word made flesh on earth, to either know the time when he's coming back or to talk about it. So don't read too much into the fact that he's saying, "I don't know the time." He's saying, "I'm not telling you the time," whether he knows it or not. Yes, in his capacity as the second person of the Trinity, I would imagine he knows it. But in the person of Jesus Christ, God and man, or God made man, he might not have access to that information. I don't think that's theologically incorrect, but the point of the matter is, I think the most important thing to focus on is what he says before that. Of the day for the, when he's coming again, no one knows. No one knows. But the Father knows. The Father has a plan. Now, let's look at this a little more closely. See, my purpose here is to try to get you to not panic. Because you look around and you think, like, I live in New Jersey. And as of this, when I'm recording this podcast, we have not had rain in a long time. You know, and it's pretty warm for the month of November. It's very warm. And one could look at that and say, wow, this is really weird. This has never happened before. And I know it has happened before, but we could start looking at these weather changes and say, oh, this is a sign, the end is coming. And remember, the Lord says, you're not going to know the day or the hour. But he does talk about signs. Learn a lesson from the fig tree, Jesus said. When the branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. The same way, when you see these things happening, I know that he is near at the gates. And again, he's talking about the second coming. Now, what signs could he be referring to? Well, here's what we know. And I believe it's better, I mean, I think this makes sense, to be prepared in advance, even if he doesn't come for a while. Why not be prepared? Because what are we doing to prepare? We're trying to become holy. We're trying to get rid of the bad habits, all those things we shouldn't be doing, and imitate Jesus and live like he lived. That's a good thing. So if he doesn't come tomorrow, why not do it anyway? Doesn't it make sense? Not just, okay, I have to be ready for when he comes. I'm not going to prepare until I know he's coming. No, I mean, that's not the point of being a Christian. We sometimes look for this minimalist approach, like I'm going to do the minimum necessary. Tell me when I have to prepare, right? And I've done this. I fall into this sometimes. Okay, there's this person that drives me crazy. I don't want to really be kind to that person. But Lord, if you're going to come anytime soon, or if I'm going to die anytime soon, let me know so I can stop being nasty to them and start being nice to them. Obviously an exaggeration, but you get what I'm saying, right? Rather than try to look at the state of the world and determine when he will come again in glory, look at yourself. I don't know about you, but I look in the mirror, my hair is a lot grayer than it used to be, and I got less of it. I celebrated a 65th birthday this year. I mean, I know that I have less time in front of me than I have behind me. It's just a fact. And again, it's not scary. It might be a little unnerving, but I think this helps us to prepare for eternity. We weren't just created for this life. We were created to live with God forever in heaven, which is going to last forever. That's a good thing. So looking at our own bodies, and it doesn't even matter if you're young. You're one day older today than you were yesterday. So looking at that sign, you are closer to being judged to the end of your life, right? Even if it's decades away, to being judged, and your eternal determination will be made when you're judged. You're one day closer today than you were yesterday. You're one day older today than you were yesterday. So if we look at the signs of our own bodies, of how old we are, we realize that we're getting closer to that judgment day. Now, could he come again? Could Jesus come again before the day of our death? Yeah, that's possible. He could come today. It's possible. So, I mean, I think it's really common sense to... And I'm not trying to put you down, because I struggle with this myself. I need to hear this as well. That it's common sense that we should prepare, because we have less time today than we did yesterday. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look at the signs. Realize that your time here is not going to last forever. Get ready to welcome me. Get ready to meet me. Again, this is the perfect lead-in for Advent. Let's go to the first reading now, Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And I think you'll see why the church picked this reading to match up with the gospel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard the word of the Lord. At that time, there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress since nations began until that time. At that time, your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be in everlasting horror. An everlasting horror and disgrace. But when the wise shine brightly, I'm sorry, let me do that again. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. To simplify this, at the second coming of Christ, at the end of the world, those who lived a life of holiness, you know, understanding that we're going to mess up at times, but we seek forgiveness, we receive the sacrament of confession, you know, they're going to go to heaven. If you try to be holy, you will get to heaven. If your death comes before the second coming of Christ, you will be judged at that point. We will be judged at that point. We're not going to be rejudged when he's going to come again. But those who are alive at that time will receive their judgment then. Once you're judged, the Lord's going to, it will be determined whether you spend eternity in heaven or hell. I mean, that's just the way it works. Stop off in purgatory to be purified for a time. That might happen, but if you do that, you will eventually make it to heaven. So you'll be judged at your death or at the second coming, whichever comes first. But at the second coming, the church teaches that our body, our earthly bodies, which are in the ground, will reunite with our souls, and we will have glorified bodies. That's the way that all works. But so the point is, let's prepare for our judgment whenever it happens. If we try our best to live like Jesus lived, to live with the help of his grace in a way that pleases him, we're going to get to heaven. It really is that simple. So you see why it's important to really focus on this and make a deliberate effort to clean up the bad habits. And this is what we're going to do during Advent. So we prepare to welcome Jesus more deeply into our lives and therefore be more prepared to be welcomed by him into his heavenly kingdom. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 16, "You are my inheritance, O Lord, O Lord, my allotted portion of my cup. You it is who hold fast my lot. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption." In other words, if you are faithful to the Lord and try your best with the help of his grace to lead a holy life, you're going to live forever in heaven. And I think sometimes we overcomplicate this. All he's not asking for perfection. He's asking us to try and to take advantage of the help he gives us, mainly the sacraments, and especially the sacrament of confession. Great, great, great sacrament to help us when we mess up and to receive, enable us to receive the grace we need to do better. Let's see. "You will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. You are my inheritance, O Lord." And you know, when we read scripture, when we listen to the teaching of the church, God gives us the guidelines. This is how you're going to get to heaven. This is how you're going to get closer to me. And not only just get to heaven, but how you will find peace in this life as well. And there's going to be suffering in life, but we can experience a great deal of peace through a relationship with Jesus Christ and trying our best to follow him wherever he leads. If we do that, we're going to find some very good degree, very high degree of peace, even in this world. And that's something really that's a good reason. That's one of the reasons, not the only reason. Shouldn't actually not the main reason, but one reason to listen to God. He knows what makes us happy. Now, obviously, we should love God for God's sake. We should put him first out of love. But, you know, that takes time. We have this fallen human nature, and it's tough sometimes. I know I do. I love comfort. I really do. I have this tendency to really want to take the easy road. And that's why I need the church and the grace that the Lord gives me through the sacraments to help me to carry my cross, because I want to reject my cross because it's painful sometimes, right? It's all part of this process of growing closer to the Lord. Second reading, Hebrews chapter 10. Beginning in verse 11, "Brothers and sisters, every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin." The message here in this letter to the Hebrews is that Jesus Christ, the one true high priest, obtained forgiveness for our sins, and he makes it possible for us to live in heaven. Now, he's going to give us the grace, but we need to cooperate with that grace. See, that's what we need to do. We need to do our part. But it's not possible without the help of his grace. Without what Jesus did for us on the cross and the grace that flows from that, you and I would never be able to get to heaven, no matter how many good works we did. But it's possible when we follow Jesus and allow ourselves to receive the grace that he gives us. But the point is, today's the day. And then tomorrow will be the day. And if you wake up the next day, then the next day is the day. Each day, what we should do is try to do God's will and ask the Lord for the grace that we need to do that. If we do this every day, think about this. If we do that every day, and that's our attitude, we are going to express our love for God and greatly please Him, and also ensure that we will live with Him in heaven. Just try. And He's going to give you the help. He's going to give you a lot of help. That's what grace is. But the point is, tomorrow is not the day to start. Today is the day to start. So as soon as I'm finished this show, I'm going to think about, for the remainder of the day, what I need to do, how I can be Jesus to those around me, how I can know, love, and serve God today. And tomorrow, if I get another day, I'm going to do it again. And I urge you to do the same thing. So I hope this wasn't too scary. Is this the end? It is the, yes, we're getting near the end of the church year. Is it the end times? Jesus said, we don't know. And we're not going to be able to figure it out. Don't go crazy trying to figure it out. Assume that it's today. And one day, you're going to be right. All right? Sound good? Hope I didn't scare you too much. My goal was to inform you, to inspire you, but certainly not to scare you. Followingthetruth.com is my website. I could really use your help when it comes to supporting my ministry financially. If you're able to help me out there and keep things going, I would really appreciate it. You can make an online contribution to my work by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. In the meantime, if you have any questions, feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I would love to hear from you. Please remember that I pray for you every day. And if you wouldn't mind praying for me and my family, I would really appreciate that. I look forward to, God willing, I always put this God willing in there because I don't know for sure, God willing, to being able to join you again next week as we look at the Mass readings for the Solemnity of Christ the King. Have yourself a fantastic week. And remember, just keep trying. Keep trying to follow Jesus. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.